Welcome back to Community Connections, and we're going to change the pace a little bit. We missed this guy last month. He's with us most months, but unfortunately he was tied up in court, so we couldn't have him. But being the first the first Wednesday of the month, we've got our private investigator with us. How are you, Peter?
You're not too bad, thank you, Alan. I apologise for last month, but I had to be a fly on a wall at a court case.
I was just going to say, most people, when you tell them that you've had to go to court, even if you only went to look at it, most people say, oh, did you get off? But anyway, Peter, I'll just ask you...
I made bail again.
That's not hard at the moment. Who said that? Peter... I know you've got a lot of things to talk to us about because you had stuff left over from last time and that. When you're doing these in court, do you find that there are the cases that are going through, I presume, the magistrates' court, there's more and more shoplifting? Or what sort of cases, on, say if you were there the whole day or however long you were there, what are the most cases, type of cases you'd hear?
Oh, definitely would be driving-related offences, and one of the patterns that does seem to be quite prominent is people that opt to go for the golden point very more often than not are not able to stay out of trouble and therefore breach the golden point and suffer the 12-month or so suspension that follows.
Because I'm not sure I'm lucky enough not to have to be involved with this, but the golden point... You double or nothing, is that right? Is that what it is?
Well, basically, I think it's if you're on 11 or 12 points, you have the option to be of good behaviour and not accumulate any more points for, I think it's 12 months.
Right.
But if you do breach it, then you basically... I'm not sure whether it's double. I think it might go to 12 from 6. I'm not exactly sure of the... But what I do know is there's a hell of a lot of people come before the magistrate having breached the golden point.
Do they? Gee, you'd think they would. And I should mention that Peter does run his own company, and Peter's very kind to give us an hour a month, and the company is Absolute Facts. Now, Peter, you've got a bit of homework. I know you had some left over from 2 months ago, so I'll let you start.
I'm going to have to make a declaration here. If I did have homework, Alan, the dogs ate it again, so I'll have to have a look at my notes from the from March. But I wanted to start off with something that may be very close to your heart, Alan, although I doubt it, but it's about a called Evil Crypto Tech Scam. It's people that... There's a lot of people nowadays that are holding cryptocurrencies, and to do so, you go through an agency. One of the most well-known one is a one called Binance, B-I-N-A-N-C-E, which I'm sure some of your listeners will be familiar with and probably have a wallet, as it's called, with them. And what's happening is the scammers are getting hold of their contact details, so that's an issue within itself. And then they're generating what appear to be quite genuine messages, basically saying that your account's been breached and that you need to log in and reallocate your account and redo passwords or even move your crypto into what they would term a secure wallet, which, of course, is not a secure wallet at all. So it's an outright scam.
It's secure for them.
Yeah, exactly. So apparently there's been at least 130 victims of this scam, and most of the interactions starts with SMS, but it's also through the messaging platforms that are on the internet as well. And basically what they're saying is it comes across as very genuine, and that's the thing, that people do get a percentage of people would panic and go, oh, no, my account's been breached, I better follow this link or I better relocate into another wallet. And, of course, once you've done that, it's disappeared. So and even generating things like fake verification codes. So probably a lot of your listeners are getting used to this two-factor authentication. Yep. A lot of times that you'll get a text, perhaps a code to your mobile as a second factor authorization before you actually log into something, which initially came across as a bit of a pain in the neck. But I think these days it's basically a given now for a lot of things.
Yeah.
That you need that second factor authorization. And so what they're saying is they're actually generating those authorizations, and they look real, so people are obviously are falling for it. So, yeah, it's just one of the ways that things keep evolving, and it's hard to keep up with.
Peter, I guess one of the lessons out of all that is if you get a message from an organisation, you don't click on that link, do you? You either ring the not on any number that's on that, you use a number that you know is right and ring them and ask, isn't it, really?
Yeah, absolutely. You verify and you contact them, and don't certainly never click on any download or any link, or, you know, it's even dangerous to click on a PDF these days. So you've got to be super careful with all that sort of stuff. And the bottom line is, if it doesn't look right, don't go anywhere near it.
But the trouble is, what you were saying before too, sometimes it does look right, doesn't it? It's not a case of they're outlandish and you think, oh, that can't be right. Some of them are so close to what they normally are that you just don't know.
Oh, and it's purely a numbers game, Alan, as we know. And, you know, you send out 100 such things and you only need to get one or two to fall for it, and you've had a good day. So that's the issue, I think. And unfortunately, some people in the heat of the moment, I think we spoke about this once before, that a lot of these people target people on like a Saturday morning when they're busy with their school sports and running kids around to sport, and they're all distracted, and they get this text message that says your bank account's been breached, you need to click this now. And, you know, in the heat of the moment with everything else going on and dropping coffee and donuts all over your lap, you fall for it because you're distracted.
Yeah, and I was talking to someone only about a week ago, and they'd nearly lost all their money. At the very last second, they realised what they'd done, and they contact the bank straight away, and they're able to cancel. But, you know, people still, like, this person handed out so much information, passwords. They conned her into, I shouldn't have said it was a she, they conned them into downloading something on their phone and something on the computer. Well, I mean, gee whiz, I mean, you just can't do that sort of stuff.
No, look, I nearly got caught myself this last week. I had to download an app to get a verification thing, and I downloaded what I thought was the app, and then I got annoyed because they were asking me to pay money and join up. So I rang the people back and said, why do I have to pay $69 for 3 years? And she goes, no, you downloaded the wrong one. It was, sure. You couldn't tell. You just had to be sort of wary. It was only me because I didn't want to pay money that I didn't do it. And I rang back. She said, no, you've got that slightly the wrong icon. You'd look at them side by side and you go, okay, yeah, I can see the marginal difference in the actual icon. But without being familiar with the icon in the first place, I just downloaded the first one that came up on the screen.
Fair.
So, yeah, nearly silly me. But
Peter,
there you go.
I've just got to take a quick break. We'll be back with more.
Singing as morning calls, sun rays catch the morning view, and I'll know it's a sky blue day as I wake up loving you. When birds fly home across the sun at twilight time on mountains high, we'd sit and watch the evening glow and let the world go slowly by. I've spent a lifetime loving you, just like sun rays on morning dew. It's such an easy thing to do, to spend a lifetime loving you. Sometimes Sometimes the sun forgot to shine. Morning flowers were sleeping too. We'd listen to the storm clouds roar, thinking of good times we knew. I don't need the sun to shine. Your love and smile will see me through. And rain would fall on our tin roof as I wake up loving you. I've spent a lifetime loving you, just like sun rays on morning dew. It's such an easy thing to do, to spend a lifetime loving you. I've spent a lifetime loving you, just like sun rays on morning dew. It's such an easy thing to do, to spend a lifetime loving you.
I'm talking to Peter, and he's our private investigator, and he's with Absolute Facts. So, Peter, you want to talk about, and this is on nearly every night on the news, these carjackings, they are just terrible.
Yeah, so the premise was or is that 365 days a year, but 439 carjackings, so more than one a day carjacking or attack. Carjackings in Victoria, of which three quarters of these are carried out by children or youth offenders,
yep.
Being a steady increase in the carjacking rates, of which many of the targets are professional drivers. And I thought about that. What did that mean? And what that means is they're saying people like rideshare operators or food delivery drivers are the old classic that the guy jumps out of the car to run the pizza to the front door and they jump in his car and drive off in it. So, so I feel sorry for those people that have to be so much more wary these days. So there's attempted aggravated carjackings, being the worst categories of the crime, and that those two have surged from 59 to 162 over the past 8 years.
I mean that's a huge jump.
Yeah. So what they did was because carjacking became a bit more prevalent, the community became concerned about it. In 2017, they split carjacking off from the general crime statistics, and in 2017 the number was 143, and now we're up to 439. So that's a pretty big increase. Yeah.
Peter, I don't know whether your facts tell you, are they being knocked off just because they want to drive the newer cars, or are they being knocked off to sell them, or are they being knocked off just to get home?
I think that's a combination of all of those. Obviously, it still remains the case that the sum value of the individual parts off a vehicle probably exceed the value of the vehicle as a whole, if you understand what I mean.
Yep.
And, we went through a period quite a while ago, a number of years ago, when they introduced, I think it was VB Commodore Racing out at Calder Park. Excuse me. And pretty much every VB Commodore in Melbourne got knocked off for the parts, for the panels and the parts, because they were trying to get their VB Commodore up ready for race conditions. So just examples like that. But obviously with all these horrific break-ins and things like that, there clearly is targeting of higher value European cars in general. So it's sort of seems to be a bit more of a status thing. And they tend to get recovered either bashed up or just completely burnt out, which is the other unfortunate thing. So it's definitely a statistic, and of course, unfortunately, people are just driving down the street or stopping at a service station or whatever, and they're getting confronted by generally kids with, more than likely carrying a knife.
And Peter, I've heard, and I think I've seen one or two on Facebook where they actually video themselves doing 200 kilometres an hour down the freeway and all this sort of stuff.
Yeah, in a stolen BMW, yep. Or whatever, yeah. So that's part of the – it's a a joy ride, a joy thing, a look at me type thing. But and of course, as you touched on briefly before, the repercussions at the moment are seemingly limited. out on bail, the famous saying.
Well, I heard them say somewhere yesterday they were. At times, they're out quicker than the policeman can fill out the paperwork.
Yeah, and they know that too. That's the thing. I mean, they'll taunt the police with exactly that word. I'll be home tonight. I'll be home for dinner. That's, you know, right. Like there's no thing. So, and of course, that then a follow on from that then is of course the next part of it is the insurance claim side of it, and insurance claims in Victoria as well as everywhere else, I suspect, are going through the roof. Victoria again seems to be the battleground in this regard, and they're saying car theft claims made in metropolitan Victoria areas totaled $140 million last year.
In a year,
which is double the second highest amount in country Queensland, where $71 million worth of claims were made. So obviously, again, Victoria seems to be the problem state, it's basically getting out of control. So insurance investigations and insurance claims and obviously reflected in premium. I've just got my premium renewal, which has got another $300 or so. So and I mean, I'll shop around and try and beat the loyalty factor and all that sort of thing, but at the end of the day, the cost of the underwriting and the cost of the claims is just pushing premiums up, regardless of the fact that I've been a good driver for 12 more months, and my car's 12 months older.
And the other problem is, and I know on the other side of your job, the same thing with shoplifting. I mean, all our insurance is going up because what's being knocked off is being claimed, and the insurance we're all paying that.
Yeah, I suspect a lot of the actual cost of shoplifting would just finish up being reflected in the pricing in the end. I don't know that there's a significant amount of insurance money paid out because of shoplifting. I must actually should look into that because I think it just more or less reflects the bottom line of the business, who then has to put their prices up.
Yeah. Now, something else, Peter?
Again, we're talking about about crime stats and things like that, and there was a comparison put up in respect to the tale of two states between Victoria and New South Wales, and it basically highlighted things such as burglary, whereas in Victoria from 2015 to 2024, burglaries went up 1.2%. To 48,213 in 2024, whereas in sunny New South Wales, burglary went down 37% to 27,858 in 2024. So they're crowing about getting on top of burglary by reducing it by a third, and in the meantime, burglary in Victoria has ticked up slightly. Car theft, which we just touched on, 2,000 car thefts were listed, 25,153, up 63% since 2015, whereas in sunny northern New South Wales, including Sin City, down 1% in 2024 to 14,583. So, again, quite impressive numbers up north in New South Wales, and you could only say disastrous numbers down here in Mexico.
Yeah. I was going to take a quick break, Peter, and we'll be back with more.
Here we come, Mr.
About that, Chief.
Oh, Vicar, you are a very unattractive man.
The Ayatollah of Rock and Roller!
If you
want to escape the world for 2 hours of pure mindless banter?
Some may call it therapy. We call it
a goot drive of madness.
So tune in to Yarra Valley FM every Thursday night between 7 and 9pm for the Three-Headed Goat Show with Pete, Mickey, Lumpy Cam, and special guest stars Scotty and Tommy.
Well, you might come out mildly disturbed.
That was brilliant.
Stick it in the guts, Barry.
Peter, our private investigator from Absolute Facts. Sorry, Peter, I had to cut you off.
Yeah, no problem at all. So we can just continue on a little bit more with our tale of two states,
yep.
Alan.
Yep.
And continuing the trend, we're now on to the next category, which is theft from car. And in Victoria, up 36% to 64,613 in 2024. And in Sydney, down 34% to 27,353 in 2024. And then the one we do touch on quite often, Alan, is retail theft.
Yep.
Victoria, 89 retail theft reports to 38,750 in 2024, whereas in New South Wales, up 28% to 27,759. So basically, to give the aggregate then, so you get a overall picture of those four categories, which was burglary, car theft, theft from car, and retail theft.
Yep.
So in Victoria, overall figures are up 35% to 176,729 in total for 2024,
yep.
Whereas New South Wales basically down 20%. To 97,553.
Peter, without...
So in raw numbers...
No, go.
I was just going to say, in raw numbers, Victoria's almost double. Almost. Not quite,
Peter,
but almost double.
Without us getting political, I wonder why. Are the police... Have they got more police on the road, or Well, how are they bringing it down? And ours is... Is bail tougher?
Well,
I don't know.
I think one of the short answers is what's the saying? There's statistics and then there's damn statistics. So, but I have to say that has come from the Crime Statistics Agency, Victoria, New South Wales, via the Bureau of Crime Statistics. So you'd have to say there's...
You'd have to think it's
there's certainly the trend. The trend would be true. The raw numbers, you know, it could be to do with how things are categorised and how things are reported, but I think the trend is very, very clear, and unfortunately looks like Victoria's got a bit of a problem, a bit of a crime problem, which I guess is making the headlines.
And not, it's not a surprise. I guess the other thing is too, we've just heard yesterday that we've got a new police chief commissioner coming, so maybe he'll have different priorities. I don't know. I just don't know why the if one's going backwards and one's going upwards, there's got to be a reason, doesn't there?
Yeah. Well, yes, and I honestly don't know the answer to that. So it's an interesting thing, but you always take statistics with a grain of salt. But I think the overall trend is undeniable, and clearly Victoria's just got a massive and increasingly crime problem that somehow needs to be abated.
Absolutely.
So maybe back to the old days of the telephone books and getting put in a cupboard and thrown down the stairs, Alan.
I did.
Like happened to you a few times in your youth.
I'm not touching that.
All righty. So just to segue slightly, we had a bit of a chat about this a month or so ago when we were talking, and I brought up the issue we talk about facial recognition, but we also brought up the subject of gait recognition. That's G-A-I-T, as in walking. And I saw an article, I think it's quite recent, that the Melbourne City Council are actually, as part of their crime management or crime prevention, considering, I think the right word would be to say, is to use AI technology, cutting-edge technology, Alan, to utilise both facial and gait recognition to basically deploy their security personnel and probably even police to basically say, oh, this person's walking up Swanston Street or whatever, and go and have a chat to them and things like that. So
you wouldn't think our walking gait would be that different, would you?
Beg your pardon, sorry?
You wouldn't think that our gait, which is how we walk, you wouldn't think that would differ that much, would you?
No, but apparently it's quite an identifier from what I've understand. I think we touched on this a couple of months ago, that it's actually everyone has a unique way of rolling along on their balls of their feet or their ankles or maybe a bit bow-legged, some of us, but yeah, and I think there was only, I think the upshot of this was that there was only really one councillor that seemed to be a little bit concerned about it and brought up the usual privacy issues and things like that. But I think overall, if, I think probably the general consensus, and given what we've just talked about, Alan, anything that's going to make the city street safer, well, I think at this stage people are probably prepared to put up with a little bit of monitoring.
And I don't have any problem with facial recognition. I mean, they probably look at my face and laugh, but if I'm not doing anything wrong, I don't care what if people taking a photo and checking me out.
Yeah.
I'd rather blonde. I'd rather some nice blonde would want to take my photo and check me out, but unfortunately that's not going to happen, Peter.
No, that's right. We keep waking up at 2 o'clock in the morning. That's right. So, of course, finances is one of the aspects. So it's a cost-benefit analysis like all these things are. And as we've heard before, the City Council have employed some extra security guards to move around or crowd controllers to move around the city, which is, I'd say, would be a positive thing overall. Yep. And just to finish off with that example, there's Logan City Council up in southeast Queensland have been using AI on their 1,400 CCTV cameras, so that's a few.
Yeah.
And they search for images and vision of things like number plates, so number plate recognition, which is now a thing, of course. People who wear specific clothing, and also people, and if you work in the retail loss prevention area, you're always a little bit concerned about anyone carrying a backpack as well. So that would always be the thing. And the one I thought of adding on in there, and I'm wondering whether it's been utilised or not, is tattoos as well.
Oh, that's a good point.
Because some people do have some fairly unique ink. And perhaps that can be a bit of a giveaway as well. So, tattoos on or the head or the face or the arms or the legs, that can also be a bit of an ID issue as well. So, it's an ever-involving thing. And obviously, again, as we talk about, there's privacy and all that sort of stuff. But again, I reiterate that I think the pub test would be with today's crime levels, I think people would be prepared to tolerate a little bit more monitoring than
I'm sure they would
than before. Yeah,
Peter, I've got to take one quick break, and then we've got about three questions for you to have a look at for us next month, and we'll do that first if that's okay. Just a quick reminder, I'll be here on Sunday between 12 and 3 playing all the hits, 50s, 60s and probably a bit of 70s, and then I'll be back on Sunday night between 6 and 8 with a rock and roll hit parade. And being Mother's Day, we'll see if we can't find certainly Johnny Chester's The World's Greatest Mum will appear in both those shows, I'm sure. Peter, we've got two or three questions that we would like you to have a look at if you could. And we're talking just in dollar values. Now, you know, we don't want you to spend a lot of time on it. I know it takes up your time. With all these tobacco shops that are going up in flames and they're burning the cars, they just push them in and set fire the whole lot. Could you have a look at the dollar value that the fires over, say, the last 12 months compared to, say, 5 years ago? Because I'm tipping they're going to be way up, and so is the person that asked that question. So if you come up with the cost of the fires. And then we've also talked on a number of occasions about shoplifting or asset protection, as you talk about it. If you could perhaps look at 2024 or something, and then maybe 10 years earlier, again in dollar value, what the costs are.
The actual cost of shoplifting.
And the cost of the fire.
Sorry, got that.
Now, and the other one, which is a bit intriguing here, and you may not want to answer this, and I did say to the person who asked the question, when you look back over your cases, and this will take a little while, just in your mind, we don't want you to waste a lot of time, have you ever, or has it happened infrequently or frequently, where you found out that a client of yours, and we're not talking about corporate here, we're talking about other cases you had, where the client has actually turned out to be either not giving the right information or lied to you a bit, and really they've asked you to do something, but they had ulterior motives for it? Now, you may not want to answer that, and I did say to the caller, well, you know, that may be not something you want to talk about.
Yeah, look, it's a good question. I will have a think about it, but yes, the occasions have arisen. And one of the things that an absolute rule of thumb that needs to be put on the table, Alan, is that if anyone who wishes to be a client of mine or a private investigator per se is subject to any form of intervention or restraining or any sort of order along those lines, and you do hear this, magistrates make it quite clear, as an agent of that person, you are subject to exactly the same restrictions. So if they're not allowed to go within 200 metres for argument's sake of a workplace or a residence or whatever the restrictions are, a school perhaps, a place of employment, as a private investigator and as a agent of that client, I am subject to exactly the same restrictions probably more importantly, Alan, I would be subject to the same penalties if I breach those restrictions. So if I came
to you and said you and said, "Oh, look, I just want to check out because I think X might be doing something behind my back," but I actually had a restraining order, so I'm going to use you to get the information. You would be under exactly the same and. If you got caught, even though you didn't know it, you'd still get caught out as being a person who's broken the rules.
Yeah, basically, bottom line is I can't help you, and if I get any inkling, as any good private investigator should, if you get any inkling that something's not quite right, it's a little bit icky, if you like, then that's one of the very first questions you ask, and you say you must declare any intervention or restrictions or restraining because I'm subject to the same conditions. And if you don't declare them, look, at the end of the day, Alan, I probably wouldn't take the job on because hopefully my spidey senses would tip me off.
Yeah. Well, perhaps you could just, when you're giving this whole thing out, maybe just how many times it's ever happened to you or if it's ever happened to you where you've actually been... The other thing is, Peter, just before we go, I know we've got something else you want to talk about, but at about 5:02, as you know, I have to get out of the studio and I'm going to pick Floyd and On the Run. Tell us very briefly about that song, please, Peter.
So, yeah, On the Run, it's virtually an instrumental, although I'm laughingly looking at the lyrics as put up on Wikipedia or one of those things. There's actually some background announcements taking place. I think it's at an airport or something, so it's not actually, there's no actual lyrics as such, but it's the third track of Pink Floyd's probably most famous album, Dark Side of the Moon. Yep. It's listed as an instrumental in some places, but they also, people point out, there is some tannoy announcements running in the background through the track.
Fascinating. I know you're our expert on Pink Floyd. Peter, we've still got about 4 minutes, so if there's something else you've got, we'd be happy to hear from you.
Yes, excuse me. So just to finish off again, I think we've touched on this recently as well. Victoria also happens to be the epicenter, Alan, of business failures. So Victorian businesses facing more pressure than other states. Insolvency experts warn as business failure rates continue to surge, and of course there can well be a domino effect in there as well. So that you know, one supplier fails, doesn't pay another supplier, can't pay the workers, et cetera, et cetera. So there can be the domino effect. excuse me again. Nationally, 45% surge in business failures to 11,162. So that's nationally. And that's coming through ASIC and insolvency appointments.
Yep.
So for those people going into study, maybe an insolvency degree in insolvency might be the way to go.
Because it's possible. Oh, it's terrible.
Unfortunately, it's probably the future. So some of the recent casualties one of the ones that made the headlines, of course, was the Mosaic Brands, who owned Miller's, Rivers, Crossroads, Katie's, Noni B, and Autograph.
That was a big one. And it's pulled quite a few shops out of the
disappointing part is the disappointing part is they failed to find buyers for any parts or individual sections of those businesses. So again, it's about the perhaps not keeping up with the trends, but I think that's probably a bit unfair in a couple of those cases. So it's just the nature of the retail sector in particular. So, and of course, we touch on the building industry's having a few issues as well, as we know.
Yep.
And, you know, a lot of what would we call rebirthing, perhaps, that goes on there, or re-registration. But, there's some horror stories going through the building industry as well.
And the trouble
and of course,
the trouble with the building industry is that very often when they go down, they take down these little subcontractors who are just dead out there, and he relies on being paid.
That's exactly right. And they get promises and then they dig a deeper and deeper hole. And then unfortunately it all goes to, comes to nothing, which is a real shame.
Yep. I'm waiting for you, Peter. Sorry.
I'm having a bit of trouble with holding back some coughing at the moment. But never mind.
Well,
that's pretty much all I had for this week.
Sorry?
A minute to go. So we should come up with a funny joke or something just to try and lighten the mood a bit.
Well, but not for otherwise, me. You don't want to hear my jokes.
We're all leaving Victoria from basically the last 45 minutes of chatting, isn't it?
Peter, look, Peter's from Absolute Facts. We're grateful Peter gives up an hour of his time every month, and he does, apart from the hour he gives up, he does quite a bit of research. So we do thank you, Peter, and we look forward to talking to you the first Monday.
Wednesday?
Oh, Alan, I should concentrate. The first Wednesday of, it'll be June then, won't it?
Yep.
Half the year gone. Peter, thank you for your time, and I look forward to talking to you next month.
All right. Thank you, Alan.
Thanks, Peter. You're listening to Yarra Valley FM 99.1, the voice of the valley. Straight after the 2 o'clock news, the Council Connection show will be on with Michael and Kate and the crew.